Okay, good. Now, there were a couple of questions raised from the book of Proverbs. So let's turn to Proverbs 2 first, and I'm going to try to address them. Okay, so Proverbs 2. And the first question that was raised, Proverbs 2, is this wisdom that we're talking about, is it wisdom that is only found in God's Word, or is it wisdom that you find just generally outside? Okay, because it says wisdom calls out in the streets, right? So does that mean that this wisdom is found out there in the world? Okay, I'm just going to give you the answer directly, which is after verse, right? Proverbs 2, 1 to 5. After 5 is verse 6, right? So verse 6 says, "For the Lord gives wisdom." Okay, so that wisdom is not a wisdom, generally speaking, like worldly, wise type of wisdom. You know, it's not like that. This wisdom is a wisdom that comes from God. God is the source. Okay, so for the Lord gives wisdom, from His mouth come knowledge and understanding. And that's what we want to see. Okay, so this is what He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. So this wisdom is really, the source of it all is God. You notice here the words there, from His mouth, right? And what did the Lord Jesus say? He said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." So this is what we're talking about. Okay, so this wisdom, if we search for it, where should we search for it? From the mouth of the Lord. Okay, from the Lord Himself. So this is what we want to do. And the more you go into the Lord's Word, the more you will find this wisdom. Sometimes we don't quite understand the Lord's Word. That's why at YPG like that is for you to read God's Word together, and myself together, you read, I read, and then together with some help from the devotions, and then we work at it until we really understand. Okay, so this is the wisdom we're talking about. So the question after that was, how do I know if I have received this wisdom? Okay, let's take a look. Verse 7 now. "He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the paths of justice. He preserves the way of His saints." This wisdom will impact your life directly. Your ways, your paths, your walk, it will be seen in your life. Until wisdom comes through in your life, it's not there yet. Look for this wisdom. Okay, and I want to encourage those who just got back their results. Okay, A-levels, this is really a frightening time for everybody. Yes, yes. Those of you who have been through it, you understand. No, I was telling the girls some of the others as well that, I feel scared for you. Thursday, well, I felt scared for them. You know, so ask them, so how do you feel? Wow, it's really a frightening time. And I want to encourage you to apply wisdom. Okay, even as you receive back your results, look for it. How do you find this wisdom? Okay, that when you want to make a decision, look for a few things. Okay, one, ask yourself, what are God's ways? Okay, let God factor into your decision making. God Himself. Okay, right. So take for example, if you're choosing a uni course. Okay, and the uni course you're choosing, you know you're choosing this so that you can one day earn big bucks and be rich. It's not the course, it's why you're doing it. The Lord's, what is the ways of the Lord? Love not the world, you know, right? So don't do it on that basis. Okay, factor God in. Secondly, you really, really need to know yourself. Please do not choose something which you obviously, this is not for you. You work so hard at math, you put double the effort at math, then you still fail at math, then after that you still want to do engineering, or you want to do economics. Economics is all math, by the way, right? And you know you're going to struggle like crazy. You know you're not good with numbers. Every time you try and do numbers, it doesn't work out for you, then you want to do accounting. It's not going to work. Okay, you need to know yourself. You really, but if you are a whiz type, okay, please go for it. So you need to know yourself. Okay, when I was applying for my courses, one of the courses I applied for was accounting. If I go accounting, I die. Seriously. I seriously die. I thank God that I got in, you know, but after that, I got into law. If I got into accounting, I cannot make it. When I was in uni, I applied for one of my courses, was actually accounting. And I did so badly for that module. Just cannot. I cannot fathom the balancing of the balance sheet. and the cash flows, and I just cannot do it. So it's not you, it's not you. Don't go and force yourself to do something you're not meant to do, okay? Is it fair to ask a fish to climb a tree? No, right? Because the fish cannot climb the tree, not with the flippers like that, okay? So it doesn't work out. You need to know. One more factor you got to bring in is this, okay? Now, we can't escape that. That is something that they brought you up, they know you, and also because main reason they're paying for your education. So you better listen to what they say. I mean, they withdraw the funds and then that's too bad for you. Okay, unless you earn your own, then it's fine. Ah, then you make your own decision. Okay, but they know you, their counsel is usually good and reliable, but that's a factor you gotta bring in. Finally, look at godly counsel. Okay? Talk to us. Talk to whoever it is that you really feel this person can really help you to make a good decision. Okay, it can be pastoral advice and everything. But the point of it all is that let wisdom be found. Where is wisdom found? In the midst of everything. Wisdom will impact your life directly. You see, so many people go into uni and they make decisions, and then at the end of it all, they regret. Or 1 year later, they find this not for me, you drop out. Or even in the army, you know, some people go to the army, then they feel so stirred up by the army. Army is so wonderful. Then after that, sign on. Why I sign on? Sorry, you already stuck down there. Sorry, I'm not saying anything. I'm just saying it may or may not be for you. If it is for you, it's for you. If it's not, it is not. But find the wisdom you need to make the right decisions, okay? Yes, don't hurry. Anybody who hurry you, tell him no. That's the expert sales tactic, is to hurry you. Pressure the person. You know, you go into those fair, right? Those uni fairs, you know, all the courses. Pressure, sign up now. No way, don't ever do that. Okay? Find the wisdom, apply. Okay? So, what does it say? It says, my son, receive. Right? What does that say? Receive godly counsel. Receive. My son, if you receive, what is that? Is that not a person-to-person communication? Isn't that a learning process? Yes? Look for that counsel that you need. Okay? So 1, 2, 3, 4 things you need to have. I just wanted to share this with you, bearing in mind those who are just going to apply, and not just the A-levels, but those who have finished their poly and are now looking at uni apps as well. Okay? Think about this and talk to us. Okay, and we really, really like to be able to walk with you, alongside you, help you to figure things out, and wisdom, and trust the Lord for everything. Okay, what is trust? Focus. Okay, in the midst of all the things that are going on, let your heart, your mind just focus on the Lord. You see? So now I have to sing solo in the concert. It's absolutely a terrible reality to live with, but I have to sing solo now, right? And then in the midst of everybody that is there, I tell my, I have a number of coaches. One is technique coach. So that one, I actually go for lessons, just started only. Then the other one is my expression coach. This is Gabriel Au. Gabriel Au, my expression coach. So I say, Gabriel, you just stand there, okay? I'm just going to look at you. There are lots of people here, and then just focus, right? And that's what trust is. In the midst of all your fears, your friends, you talk, you want this, you want that, stop! You focus on the Lord, okay? He's there. He's going to be with you, going to walk with you through this journey. Don't be afraid. Focus. Right? And He will show you the right way to go. Okay? Trust the Lord. That's so important to do. Okay? And that is something good and worthwhile to do. So, Book of Proverbs is actually very, very relevant in what we are doing. And we will come back to this again shortly after, because you will see how this wisdom that Jesus had was the very thing that protected Him, that helped Him to know how to live His life, right? When the devil came and tempted Him, what was it that guarded Him? Watch, it was the wisdom that kept Him from the way of evil. Wisdom. The wisdom that He had gained. This is what we want to look for. Okay? So we will come back here again, but for now, we turn back to the book of Matthew. Okay? So book of Matthew, chapter 3. And today we're going to look at something a little bit different. Okay, one more aspect of the life of Jesus to look at. Okay, so there are many, many of these aspects, and you begin to realize that that's what Jesus' life is. Okay, many aspects, but one person. And this is what we want to learn. But we single out a few things here and there so that we can better understand his life, better understand him, and then seek to follow. But you begin to realize it is not at all easy to follow his example. Okay? Well, let's take a look at Matthew chapter 3 now. Go back to the life of Jesus. So there's Proverbs, there's Matthew, but really, you see how Jesus lives out the principles in Proverbs. Okay? But here is something a bit different. Okay, let's take a look at Matthew 3, and we read in verse 16 onwards. So this is his baptism. So when he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water. Behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And this is what we're going to talk about today. The place, the involvement of the Holy Spirit in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ and also in your life. How is the Holy Spirit involved in his life? We're going to take some time to study this, okay? So what was it? What was the prophetic background behind this whole thing? So you hold Matthew 3, verse 16, the Spirit of God, okay? And this was something really special. When Jesus went to be baptized by John, he did not go to be baptized to be cleansed from his sins or to repent of his sins, because there's no sins to repent of, right? What was this? This was a special anointing from God. And it was an anointing through the Spirit of God. And that is something special. So we turn to the book of Isaiah to try to understand this a little bit. So you follow me a little bit, try to navigate this and gain an appreciation for the Lord Jesus first. Okay? So let's look at Isaiah chapter 11 now. Chapter 11 and in verse 2 onwards. Okay? So this is the prophecy regarding the Spirit of God upon Jesus. We read here, "The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord." Now, we call this here the sevenfold Spirit. Okay? And this was the prophecy that was fulfilled in chapter 3. Chapter 3, the Spirit of God came upon Jesus. This is the background. Okay? Two things we want to know. One, it is really about this word called fullness. We call this the sevenfold Spirit. It has to do with fullness. You see, this God had given to us the Holy Spirit. What did he, when he gave the Holy Spirit to the Lord Jesus Christ, what did he intend? He intended for the Spirit to work in a way that is truly in its fullness. That is called, that's why sevenfold. Okay? The fullness of the Spirit was seen in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that was truly seen. The scriptures describe how he was later on led by the Spirit, driven by the Spirit, filled with the Spirit, came in the power of the Spirit. Now that is the life of Jesus. Okay? Watch. So this is fullness, number one. The second part is, of course, take a look at the features. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding, Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of God. Aren't these things found in the book of Proverbs? Yes, but here the Spirit of God is involved in giving these things to Jesus because these are the very things he's going to need for his future ministry. So this is something that you want to be able to appreciate first. I'm not saying it's yours first. I'm just saying appreciate first. Stop, take a look at Jesus. Look at his life. Here he is, remember, fulfillment, growth. And he comes to a point in his life, 30 years old, when God is going to specially place his Spirit upon him. And it would be a Spirit in fullness. It would be these features found in who he is. Now that is a very, very special thing. We call this anointing. And in the Old Testament, who was anointed? The servants of God were anointed. Prophets were anointed. David was anointed, kings were anointed, priests were anointed, and Jesus was all three. And so here came that point when God would specially anoint the Lord Jesus Christ for this work. Okay? And as he does that, it is a wonderful seal of approval placed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? So this is his anointing over here. And this is something that really, really stands out. Okay? And this is how the Spirit of God begins to be involved in the life of Jesus. So the Spirit of God has been involved all the way from his birth to his growth. He was influencing, but this is different. This is a special anointing for a very, very significant ministry. Now, it really is something that is really extra, extra extra special. Okay? The Spirit of God on the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Question, can we easily apply some of these things? Well, the answer is it will be quite hard. Simply because we are not the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? It doesn't mean that Isaiah 11 doesn't apply. But the question, my question to all, each of us is, how is the Spirit of God involved in our lives? That's the question. Okay? So this is the life of the Lord Jesus. This is the life of the Lord Jesus. And I want to encourage you this afternoon to take a look at this. How can we understand the Holy Spirit and His involvement? We can see how He is involved in the life of Jesus. Yes? Involved in birth. Right? Involved in His growth. But here is a special anointing. And it would be a special ministry that we will see. Now, we do not have the same. Anybody here virgin born? Anybody here born of the Holy Spirit? Anybody? No, right? It's not exactly the same. So I mean, you cannot just apply. Say, oh, then my child will be born of the Holy Spirit. No need wife, just come out. No need husband, just, it will just come out. Cannot. So how does the Holy Spirit apply? And I'm going to turn you to a text to look at how we can look at this. You see, God has given to us the Holy Spirit, and He wants to do a special work in your life through the Spirit. What is that work? Not exactly the same as the Lord Jesus Christ, but what is it? Watch this, okay? So this is what it is. One, us, the first thing, birth, right? Are you truly born of the Spirit? This is John chapter 3. Are you born again? Okay, that's the first thing. Have you truly been born of the Spirit? Now, if you have been born of the Spirit, and I want to help you to apply this. So this is John 3. Is there a special application of this? And the answer is yes. In our salvation, what is it? Okay, now you turn with me to Titus chapter 3. Okay, now bear with me. I know we're going a long journey, but it is important to look at it. First, look at Jesus. That's always the number one. Second, ask, how can I learn from this? How can I benefit from this? Now, take a look. So, Titus 3. John chapter 3. Born again. So, first, have you truly, truly been born of the Spirit? If yes, you will be able to see the kingdom of God. You will be able to enter into the kingdom of God. Okay? So, that's one. Now, we move on now to the next part of it. And that's Titus. How can we apply this? That's important. How can I really, really apply this into my life? Titus chapter 3. Okay, and we are looking at now. We start from verse 4, okay? So this is salvation, isn't it? But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. Now that's salvation, yes? Through the washing of regeneration, that is your born-again idea, and renewing of the Holy Spirit. This is what the Holy Spirit does in our life. Now, if you can honestly say, number one, are you born again? Are you truly saved? If you can say that, I'm going to challenge you with the second part, which is Titus 3. Can you say you have been thoroughly washed by the Holy Spirit? How will He do this? Three words that stands out here. One, through the washing of regeneration. Okay, what is regeneration? The word there is really to be, literally, the born-again idea is right there. But there is this idea here is that you are really being the regeneration process starts and it carries on. And it is an ongoing process. Okay, so when we are born again, the Lord would, first, He gives to us His Spirit, we are born again, and then He would do a special work of regeneration in us. Bit by bit, we see ourselves changed. So first, when we are first saved, right, we are changed to some extent. But are you thoroughly, thoroughly cleansed and changed yet? And very much, very often, the answer is not yet. And so this is the regenerative process. You start, and then you are cleansed, again and again and again. And the process doesn't end. Okay? So you start off, right? You are born again, right? Born of the Spirit. Born again. That's the start. You need a start. But as you start, you realize you need to be cleansed again and again and again and again. Cleansed. Washed. Whose work is this? Actually, it's the work of the Holy Spirit. He will regenerate. He will renew. And He will do this in a way that is truly, verse 6, whom He poured out. He will do this in a way that is rich. He poured out on us abundantly, richly through Jesus Christ our Lord. So three things. Washing of regeneration, renewing of the Holy Spirit, and He does this abundantly or richly in verse 6, right? Through Jesus Christ our Lord, right? So this is something we really, really want to see. You want to ask, what is the Holy Spirit's role in your life? Let me tell you what it is. This. One of the most basic things that the Holy Spirit does in your life is to cleanse you. Washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. You see that? What is that? It means that there is a part of you that is cleansed again and again and again. You see, very often we look at salvation and we think of it as one-off. I'm saved, I'm cleansed, I'm washed. Look at your own personal experience of salvation. Tell me, is that true? Is it true that when you are saved, when you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ and you are saved, is it true that immediately you are cleansed completely? Sure, there is a part of it, but you continue to be cleansed as you grow. Correct? And this is exactly what we are trying to look at. Young people, I want to ask you this question. Are you thoroughly cleansed by the Spirit of God? This is the work that He does in our lives. You see, Jesus didn't need that. Jesus did not need to be cleansed. For Him, He was ready, filled with the Holy Spirit, He was ready to live a life well-pleasing to God. He was ready to live a life that stood out to God. But for you, I want to ask you, God will give us the Spirit, but He plays a different function now. This is the function. He wants to wash and cleanse your life. Maybe we come to know God. True, wonderful. Come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Come to faith in Him. Wonderful. Are you cleansed? I'm not saying, are you forgiven? I'm saying, are you thoroughly cleansed? See? And this is what I want to encourage you, for those of you who are able to go for family camp, would like to help you to think this one through. Are you thoroughly cleansed? When God looked at the people of Israel, it looked like they were doing all right. They were wealthy. They were mighty in terms of military. It was a good time. The king was good. That was King Uzziah. But His word to them, though your sins are like scarlet, though they are red like crimson, that's God's perspective. You see, cleansing sometimes is a matter of perspective. From our perspective, we think we're okay. From God's perspective, He sees things differently. Yeah? So I was just talking to the core members just now. What is the most dirty part of church? That you actually touch every day, day in, day out. Actually, very, very dirty, but you touch it. But you can't really see. What is it? I think, to me, it is the toilet bowl, the door. When you go in. Yeah? How come so dirty? Because everybody do whatever they want to do. Then the first thing they touch without washing hands is that knob. Then go out there. Then you wash your hands. So what is the most dirty part of the toilet? Isn't it that thing? So I was asking, do you all who clean the church wash that part? Do you wash that part? Super dirty, that part. If you want to examine under microphone, I'm sure you will find that part is extremely dirty. Cleanliness, irrelative. Sometimes it looks like it's all right, but it's not. The same thing for our lives. Are you thoroughly washed? Jesus did not have to address this issue. That's why you can see the Spirit of God so full in His life. The same for us. You want to follow Jesus? Deal with the basic thing first. We often imagine we can just follow. Jesus came down, humbled Himself to say, you follow me. Can you easily follow? Look at what we have just looked at. Look at Him and look at us, ourselves. Is He quite far apart from us? Actually, the answer is yes. But that is where this work must begin in our lives. And young people, I just want to encourage you to look at this matter of cleansing. The Word of God must cleanse us. the Holy Spirit that is there in our life is there so that we might be cleansed. It's a washing. The word is washing of regeneration and renewing, right? So there are parts of our lives that must be cleansed, young people. And if they are not cleansed, you know what happens? It comes back again. And when we feel, you know, we are saved, we come back to the Lord, what happens then? The parts of our lives that are not cleansed will trip us up again and again and again. Yes? And the more you grow, the more you realize there are things in your life that are not great. I see things about myself today which I didn't see when I was your age. Right? It doesn't mean that it's not dirty. It is dirty. It is filthy. But I just didn't see it then. Now I see it. And now I ask, Lord, can you cleanse my life? You see, when God spoke to the people in the days of Isaiah, He spoke to the people regarding their sins. But Isaiah himself came out and he said, woe is me. I am a man of unclean lips. Cleanliness is a matter of perspective. Whose perspective are you seeing from? Your own? You won't see the need to be cleansed. God's perspective is quite different. And He calls us to be cleansed. He calls us to live a life that is cleansed. How do you know you need to be cleansed? Please look at your personal life. Ask yourself, does your faith really extend to your personal life? Or do you say, Lord, this is where you stop working. This area is my area. I will do whatever I want to do in this aspect of my life. Is that how it is? We have not been cleansed. Can you see? When it comes to going to church, when it comes to, I'm there. But when it comes to my personal life, it's my decision. It's my choice, what I want to do with it. We are not cleansed. And because of that, we are always stuck and limited. Right? I apply this to my own self. Do I need to be cleansed? Absolutely. Sin, sometimes, is not a matter of what you do alone. It's what you don't do. It's what you have failed to do. It's not commission alone, it's omission. That's my sin. And that's where I am at. Okay, and I want to encourage you to look into this matter. God has given to us His Spirit that we might be washed thoroughly. Let the Spirit of God do this work in your life. Let Him wash you thoroughly. If you have come to a point where you can really speak of, you know, I really know the Lord Jesus Christ, great for you. But I want to ask you, are you thoroughly cleansed? In the thoughts, in the attitudes, in the approach, even in the things that you desire, are you thoroughly cleansed? And very often, if you are not, it will trip you up again and again. You understand where I'm coming from? Right? So here is the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at His life, a wonderful inspiration. And our own lives, sometimes, very often, or always, pale in comparison. But you know, our own hearts are just challenged. I must follow Him all the more. I must see my life cleansed. I must see all aspects of my life cleansed. And that would be something that is good and wonderful to see. Okay? Let the Lord do a special work of cleansing in your life. Sometimes what we need, can you see what we're trying to do at YPG? What is it that caused Isaiah to truly see himself for who he is? Is when he saw God. Now, we're going to discuss some of these things at family camp. But when he truly saw God high and lifted up, exalted as a king, then he began to realize, woe is me. I am nothing before God. The same. The more we study the example of Jesus, I hope that your own eyes will open. This is who Jesus Christ really is. Me, I am not worthy of even following Him. But you know, I just want to try anyway. That is where cleansing begins. Okay, and I want to encourage you to look into this. Don't just stop at the point of, I'm saved, wonderful. I'm baptized, wonderful. Let's go beyond cleansing. And if you are honest with yourself, look at the personal areas of your life. Have you allowed that to let it go? Have you let go some of these areas? I just do whatever I want in terms of this aspect. After a while, doesn't matter. Nobody knows, nobody cares, doesn't matter. I go to church, I do my part faithfully, but my personal life is not there. Would you look into this matter of cleansing? I really am. Do I need to be cleansed? Desperately so. Right? If I don't see my sins, who will see my sins for me? Correct? If I do not see God exalted for who He is, and if I don't serve Him like that, then that is my sin. Can you see? Cleansing. Let the Lord do this work in your life. And the one person He has given to you is the Holy Spirit. He will wash, He will regenerate, He will renew, He will do it richly, and He will make you a new man. But you've got to let God do this work in your life. If we draw boundaries and say, nope, do not come in here, then the Lord's work will stop right there. Open your life. Seek the Lord. Are there areas of your life that are obviously not washed? Address them. Deal with them. YPG must go to that level. The Word of God must hit at that level. If it is not, then what are we studying all these things for? If you are not addressing things in your life, why are we studying all these things? No point. Just theory. I'm not here to give you theory. I'm here to ask you to look at your life. I'm here to ask you whether you really are taking seriously your walk with God. And if you are, you will see the Lord's blessing in a wonderful way. You will see yourself learning lessons that are deep and rich and wonderful, and your spiritual life will grow. But if not, you will always find yourself tripped up again and again by the things out there in the world. That's why we're learning all these things. Wisdom, we're learning about cleansing, we're learning about being, you know, what it means to be a son. That's why we learn all these things. And I hope that that impact will be made in your life. But you've got to allow it to happen. And you've got to allow that cleansing to take place. Okay? So many lessons that we can learn, part of it is wisdom. Take that. If you need that, you know you need it, take it. Sometimes you know you need to learn to trust the Lord. But we learn. Really, we learn. Right? And along the way, these are hard lessons, but hard lessons is where we learn. Trust the Lord. Sometimes it has to do with cleansing. Look at your life. You know there are areas not clean before. You ask the Lord to wash, the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. Yeah? Sometimes we look at ourselves and we just don't have the kind of focus that Jesus had. What do? Well, we learn how to do that. Whatever may be the lesson that is relevant to you, pick it up. And you see what it is that God is speaking to your own heart, and you grow from there. Well, that's my prayer, very much for myself, and very much for you guys as well, okay? And may the Lord speak to our hearts, okay? Well, let's pray together. Our Father, we pray that you would speak to our hearts deeply. And sometimes, Lord, there are so many struggles within our own heart, struggles with reference to our own circumstances in life, struggles with reference to the sin in our life, struggles when we just are so strong, self-willed, and we just cannot yield to you as we should. And our Father, we pray that you would not just forgive us, but that you would cleanse. And Lord, we ask that you would cleanse us from all that is wrong in our heart and mind and life. Help us to be very honest with our own self. And we know that you have given to us your Holy Spirit to do this work of washing. And we pray that we will see ourselves thoroughly cleansed from the sins, from the wrong things that are present in our life. And we pray that you will speak to our hearts. We pray that through each experience of life, you would help us to see your word coming in again and again. Help us relate to you as our Father. And we pray and ask for all of these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.